FCS Fans Nation, Jamie Williams here to talk through my top 25 once again. Thanks for the feedback and all the opinions and comments and questions and thoughts through the week. So it definitely helps me go through my ballot week by week, day by day, as I watch the games. I keep the thoughts in mind, so keep them coming, good, bad, otherwise, you know, just be respectful. That's all I ask. And with that, we'll get right into the review. As you can see, here is the ballot that I submitted this week. We are staying with North Dakota State at number one. I know they lost, but it was a three-point game to a Power 5 opponent. I know they were 1-11 last year, but they're much improved, that Arizona Wildcat team. So didn't see enough to move North Dakota State down, although I did kind of think about it for a minute. Want to see Montana get against a little bit tougher competition before I think about putting them in that number one spot. But right now it's North Dakota State's to lose. And as they keep winning, I don't see any reason to move them, no matter what Montana does, to be honest. At number three, Incarnate Word is up two slots. They just keep mowing the opponents down. Prairie View A&M this week on the road, they went in there and easily dominated that game. You heard Kyler's recap from the, as they call it, the big boy show that we did on Sunday evening that was released yesterday. So Incarnate Word goes all the way up to three. It's just the most impressive team right now. And they could continue climbing. I don't see any losses for them. They could always trip up, but we'll see what happens. They got a big one this week. South Dakota State is down one. And again, that's just because of how impressed I was with Incarnate Word. Jackrabbits had a get-right game against a good, not a good team, against a Pioneer team, Butler. So get-right had a nice game. We'll see if they can continue that momentum because they've got a big top 10 matchup this week against Missouri State. That's going to tell us a lot about the South Dakota State team. I do want to see a lot more from Mark Gronowski. Delaware went in to Rhode Island, picked up a win in CAA play. They just look like they might be the best team in the CAA and that they could threaten, based off of the matchups, to be a potential semifinal team. So right now they're sitting at number five. Sacramento State fairly easily beat Northern Iowa. They had them crawl back a little bit, but the Hornets just keep on going. We keep on doubting them. They keep on winning. Number seven, I've moved Montana State down three. Again, it was just to move other teams up. I know they got blown out by Oregon State, but that really wasn't a driver here. They just, to me, they are the seventh best team, and the other teams ahead of them deserve to be there. At eight, Missouri State. And they almost pulled that upset against Arkansas. They'd have pulled that up. They might be the number two or three team this week. Maybe even number one. Who knows? Probably not that high, but who knows? It didn't happen, so we'll never know. They've got a real chance this week to show us what they're all about because they play South Dakota State, and that is going to be a massive game. We'll see if their lines can hold up because right now Jason Shelley's doing it all himself. Number nine, Weber State. Clicked them up two more spots. They deserve to be in the top 10. They did what they needed to do against Dixie State, so they stay right there. Moving into the top 10 at number nine, Jackson State comes in at 10. No movement for them. Big, easy win over Grambling. Shedeur Sanders continues to impress. But I think right now 10 is right about where they need to be. William & Mary at 11. They continue to win themselves. They start conference play this week with Elon at home. So as they start getting to those tougher games, we'll really see what William & Mary is all about. But they've impressed me so far, have them at 11. Villanova, again, I know the teams that have moved big lost to FBS teams, and it looks like, oh, you're just, you know, moving your FBS team's losses down, and it's not intended to be that way. It's just, I feel like the teams ahead of Villanova right now are better than them, and they just haven't looked good. Connor Watkins at quarterback, little shaky, too many turnovers. I just need to see a lot more from the Wildcats offense. Defense is okay. But I need to see more right now. They're just a middle of the 25, and CA plays upcoming, so they can definitely show us a lot there. At number 13, Chattanooga stay right where they were. Going to be tough to beat in the SoCon. I think it's right now it's a two-horse race between them and Mercer, who I have at number 15. But, of course, Samford, Furman, Western Carolina, they're all waiting in the wings, and they could definitely make some noise. And that SoCon is going to be, as it always is, down to the wire. 14, Holy Cross. They just keep on winning. I'm looking forward to when they match up with Fordham. That's going to tell you who's going to win the Patriot League. And could they both get in when the playoffs come around? I know we're still 2 solid months away from that happening, but both Holy Cross and Fordham look like playoff teams at the moment against whatever competition they're playing. So Holy Cross at 14. Fordham, is just on the outside looking in, just like Furman. And back to the SoCon. Mercer at 15 ticked up a spot. Bears shut out the Citadel. So a good defensive performance. We wanted to see a little bit from them. That offense does what it needs to do as Mercer continues to move on, looking for their first ever playoff bid. I think they're going to get it, and we'll see. Do they get the auto bid, or are they going to have to hope for an at-large? Tennessee Martin put up a nice fight for a while against Boise State, ticked down 2 as Holy Cross and Mercer both passed them. Dresser Wynn, can't say enough about him. I think we thought they were going to just run away with the OVC, but they'll get a challenge from Southeast Missouri State, it looks like. So, sadly, those two teams don't play each other. So, it's going to come down to the standings at the end of the year. So, it is a potential, again, for 2 OVC teams if they continue to play the way they have. 17, Richmond, they didn't move. Their victories haven't been great. They beat St. Francis by 10. They beat Lehigh this past weekend by 24. So, it's what they're supposed to do. But I really thought I would see a little bit more octane from that offense. And I'm waiting to see it. We'll see what happens when they get into CAA play. Were they holding something back? Or are they not quite as good as I thought they were? Being the fact that I've been wrong all year so far, that might be the case. UC Davis up 1 at 18. I think this is a good team. Not great, but good. But they can definitely make some noise in the Big Sky. I think they're one of the bigger matchups this week. Off the top of my head, cannot remember who they're playing. But the next one, Eastern Washington, they have the opportunity. They host Montana State. Right now they sit at 19, and we're really going to see what this Eastern Washington team has this year. Can't really take much away from what we've seen so far. They did a nice job against Tennessee State. We could just flush the Oregon game. That doesn't matter at all. Montana State, a little wounded coming in. How will the Eagles respond? How will they look on the red turf? Eastern Kentucky just continues to move up. They're up number 1 to 20, and right behind them at 21 are Austin Peay. That's a matchup that I cannot wait for this week. This is going to go a long way to determining the A-Sun title, potentially the auto bid between the Atlantic Sun and the WAC conference. But this is going to be an excellent game. 2 excellent quarterbacks, Parker McKinney and Mike DeLillo. Lots of talent across the field, but those quarterbacks are going to be the stars of the show, and I can't wait to watch it. At number 22, we have North Dakota. Went to Northern Arizona, which is a tough place to play in Flagstaff, and battle hard, came away with a victory. So Fighting Hawks out of Grand Forks, they might have something for the Missouri Valley this year. So keep your eye on them, see if they can keep climbing, see if they can do some damage and upset one of those teams that people think are better in the Valley. Samford is into the top 25 for me at number 23 this week. A good, solid win against Tennessee Tech on the road. Got behind, had to fight back. Really going to see what Samford's about this week. They play Western Carolina, and I know a lot of you think, well, Western Carolina's not that good. What are you going to find out? We're going to find out how good the defense is. I said after the win against Kennesaw that Samford doesn't have a secondary, but their front 7 is good, and that matched up against Kennesaw. And I said specifically that Western Carolina would blow them out because of the lack of talent in the secondary. Let's see if I'm right, or does Samford pick up another win, keep surprising people and move on up these rankings, or will they be replaced by a team like Western Carolina or Furman in the SoCon? At number 24, we brought in Southeast Missouri State. Another good win, a big win. They won big. Unfortunately, it slips my brain who they beat this week, but they won by a large margin, a team you wouldn't have thought, the game you thought was going to be much closer, and that comes on the heels of the win over Southern Illinois, who actually beat an FBS team this past week. But for me, not quite enough to put Southern Illinois back in, because at number 25, I have my team of the week, North Carolina Central. They moved up 40 spots because I just had them in the middle. They had beaten North Carolina A&T. They beat a D2 team and wasn't sure what to think about them. But then they went up to New Hampshire, which is historically a very, very difficult place to play. And they took the wood to New Hampshire. Team I had in the top 25 last week. And I always like, especially early in the season, to have a team that I reward to jump into the top 25 with a good start of the season. And North Carolina Central is that team this year. Now, can Central be the team that potentially beats South Carolina State and wins the MEAC? They look like they might have the part, but we'll see when they play down the road. So that is the top 25, including our team of the week. Down in the comments section below, Twitter, however you want, let me know what you think about my thoughts, about my ballot, whether you love it, whether you hate it. Just be respectful, and I'm fine with whatever feedback you have. And on to our next segment on Second Thought, where I look back at the ballot and talk about a couple of things that I might have done differently or answer some questions that I got frequently. Also, real quick, Ron Lowney. I know you've asked in the comments how to get in touch with me. Let's go back. Oh, just blew that. But you can see here's my email address. Email me there if you want to contact me. So just to hit that before we get to our On Second Thought, because I already blew my next segment, and that's okay. So On Second Thought, South Dakota State moving down. Again, like I mentioned, it wasn't anything that they've done. They just haven't looked as good as Incarnate Word has. So Incarnate Word moves up ahead of them. So that's why they stay there at four instead of the three slot. But there's a lot of Valley schedule coming. South Dakota State will tell us exactly what they are. Don't worry, Jackrabbit fans. They'll go up and down based off of their results, just like everybody else. At the one spot, so we'll stay at the top of the ballot. I could not move North Dakota State after losing by three to a Power 5 team. Arizona's much improved. North Dakota State had every opportunity to win that game. I know they were favored, but I just didn't see enough from other teams to knock the Bison off the top, and that's where they're going to stay. When you look at the bottom of the ballot, missing is Furman, and a lot of people asked about that. That's another team I haven't seen enough from. They beat a Division II team. They lost to Clemson, and I know they play Clemson closer to some of Clemson's other opponents, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. Because Clemson's probably playing a lot of backups against Furman. Starter is kind of on the edge of what he could he play, maybe. They'll probably sit him, play him a drive or two, let the backups play. So I don't put a lot into that. And then they did get a nice win over East Tennessee State, who's not looking very good this year. But Furman is right on the outside looking in. So just a couple of teams I wanted to highlight there. Just outside of the top 25, also outside of the top 25, are a couple of Ivy League teams. They just started their play this week, but not ready to put them in yet. I want to see a couple weeks of Ivy League play before I start to sprinkle teams like Dartmouth and Princeton into my top 25, because the 25 I have played two and three games, and I feel like they have earned the spots where they sit, and I don't want to just remove somebody to remove them. Southern Illinois, they beat an FBS team, but those first two games, the blowout to Incarnate Word, the loss to Southeast Missouri State, just not quite enough to sneak them back in. They're close, but again, they've got a Valley schedule that will tell them us and them exactly where they are. So don't worry about any of that. Looking forward to a huge, huge slate of games this week. Just look through the schedule, and you'll see that this ballot is going to change a lot from this week to next. So this is where we sit right now. Now, next week, I plan to put together a playoff projection. I didn't want to do it until we started conference play, and I think this week with the big matchups, this will be the right time to start thinking about who is going to be around the playoffs, who's going to be the bubble, who's going to lock themselves in. So I think starting next week, we'll work on a playoff projection, so I hope people are looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing how the games play out. That's going to end this episode. Take the time to comment, like, subscribe, FCS Fans Nation Network on YouTube, and wherever you listen, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. For now, I'm Jamie Williams, and I will talk to you guys next week. Boom!
Thank you for listening to the FCS Fans Nation Podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, or even YouTube. And make sure to follow our FCS Fans Nation social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the premier podcast for FCS football. Boom.